So how many people went to Shentong this morning? Anybody? Okay, so is your mind beginning to spin? A little bit? Dare's like warming up. Dharma worry. Okay. Today is Buddha Nature Day. So, Oh, yeah. The acoustics is much rougher. Yeah, I actually should have pulled us back. What I was going to say is today is Buddha Nature Day. Can I? I wish, yeah, right. Let's interrupt everybody's group. Because after all, it's all about competition. Okay. Which means today's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be a lot of information. And it's going to be different worldviews colliding. We get the fun group, actually. Shentong, what Winston La and John La did this morning, was the most difficult piece. Well, no, what Geshe-la is doing this afternoon also. But Shentong is a very difficult thing to tease out, as the people who went this morning probably heard. To tease out what's the differences between Prasangika Madhyamika and Shentong and mind only, etc. So we're going to be doing something kind of pretty this morning. We're going to be trying to get at what is our Buddha nature. What is it that we already have that enable us to turn into a Buddha? Okay? We already have something. Now, we've got to be careful. Here's the line we have to walk. First of all, we're going to say, you remember this? This is the word for Buddha nature. So say, calm. Okay. In Sanskrit, it's dhatu. Say dhatu. Dhatu. I won't be saying most of the Sanskrit today because I can't pronounce it well, and I don't want to teach you the wrong pronunciation. This is the idea of the Buddha inside of you. Did anybody see the website? You know, the Diamond Mountain website for Tara Tantra on the front page. It said, no. Right? Kind of sounded a little bit sexy and a little bit spooky. Here comes John. Okay, cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll sit on a chair. Makes it easier.
Okay.
That's okay, sweetie.
Bodhisattva Wars. Okay, so we're going to be working on what is our Buddha nature. What is it inside of us already that becomes a Buddha? Now, what's a very common, we would call it a Dharma rumor. If you went to the satsang last night, you heard some points of view that said that's no Dharma rumor at all. There's a Buddha inside of you. Basically, we heard people saying that, right? But the Dharma rumor is, from our point of view, it's a rumor, is that there's a little Buddha inside of you. You're already perfectly enlightened. That would be great. You're already a perfectly enlightened being, and all you have to do is polish it off. You know, that's why David Sykes, the top of his head is shiny. He's been polishing off the core to reach the perfect Buddha within. Sounds sweet, right? No, I'm teasing. I started a new Dharma rumor. But the idea that there's already a perfect Buddha inside of you, we're going to end up blowing it out of the water. Okay? What is it inside of you that you keep all the way to Buddhahood? What is it that gives you the potential to become a Buddha? What is it that you have? Emptiness. What does that mean? Anybody going to ask me according to whom?
According to whom?
Let's say Prasangika Madhyamika. Let's just say that.
Say that.
Okay. According to the highest worldview, what is emptiness? What does it mean? What does it mean? Nobody knows. I said it too many times. We said it too many times. You're tired. I just want to make sure, you know what? How many people here have seen emptiness directly? You're not going to tell me. If you haven't, or even if you have and you're pretending that you haven't, we say it until we get it. We keep repeating ourselves. I invited a friend from work to one of Geshe-la's classes, the only friend from work that ever went. And afterwards, she said to me, "He's kind of cool, but he repeats himself too much." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, she listened very well. She said he said it that way, then he said it this way, then he said it that way." I said, "Why do you think he did that?" She goes, "I don't know. I got it the first time." I said, "Did you? With your mind or your heart?" She said, "All right, I know." And then she ended up saying, "I know what I'm supposed to do. I want to play for a little while longer."
Yeah, I know what you thought.
So we keep saying it. Emptiness is the absence of a David Sykes that is David Sykes from his own side. The absence of a Sykes that can walk into a room and everybody yells, "Hi, David." You know, even though they've never met him before. Okay? Can we say it that way? Is that okay? You're going to make me do all the work today. You're in trouble. Now, having said that, how is it that we can communicate the idea of our Buddha nature, our essence, our potential? How is it that holy beings try to get us to see the Buddha within us? Because, by the way, it is the Buddha. It's the Buddha you see when you see emptiness directly. You know you've seen the Dharmakaya of a Buddha, the emptiness of a Buddha. So there is a Buddha or a part of a Buddha inside of you. And the problem comes in, how do you communicate it? How do the holy beings get us to sort of see it, to feel it, to know it's there? And what we're going to do this morning is go over 9 images, 9 visual pictures. And this is what you can imagine going through these pictures, why they start thinking of emptiness as a positive thing, why it starts to feel like there is a little Buddha inside of you. Okay, but they're metaphors. They're metaphors. So, ready for image number 1? The pronunciation, as John pointed out yesterday, this is the way it's spelled in Tibetan. If you spell it in English letters, this is the way you would spell it. This is the way it's pronounced, the second one. So say sangye.
Sangye.
Pe.
Pe.
Nyen. La. Okay. What's sangye mean? Say it.
Buddha.
Buddha. Yeah. Okay. Like me. Anyone know what Pema is? We did Om Mani Padme Hum this morning. Lotus. Very good. Okay. Nyen La means, La means inside. Nyen means rotten, spoiled. Okay. So our first image that the Holy Ones give us is the image of a beautiful Buddha. Picture a beautiful Buddha inside your heart. All the marks and signs of a Buddha, glowing, perfect, beautiful. You can't see him. Why? Because he's wrapped in a lotus that's spoiled, in a lotus that's rotting. So we need to talk about that. What does it mean? So can you see it? And it's like the lotus is never opened, so the Buddha's completely obscured. And you can get a lot out of the image. First of all, have you seen a lotus flower? When I was in India, it was really kind of cool. The kids were all like walking down the street. They weren't actually as pretty because by then they're kind of sat on and wilted, but you know, these beautiful lotuses we've seen pictures of, right? It's beautiful. Does it bring happiness to someone who likes flowers, a lotus, when it's fresh? And then what happens to it? It dies. And actually, have you ever, like me, had somebody give you beautiful flowers and you forget about them and you leave them in the vase for a few days? And they kind of die and they stink. So this lotus becomes a symbol. This dying lotus becomes a symbol. The essence is ignorant liking. Ignorant liking. Liking things stupidly. What does it mean to like things stupidly? beautiful, not realizing where they come from. Not realizing where they come from. And because we don't realize where good things come from, where do we think they come from? Out there. Sertung.
What?
The paycheck. Right. The paycheck. Sertung. We see things coming at us. Sertung. We see things coming at us. What do we do when we ignorantly like something? We grasp at it. I love the hand gestures today. We grasp at it. We grasp it. We're... Go ahead. We do wrong things to get more. We do wrong things to hold on to it. And then what have we done? Does the lotus... And then it looks sometimes... Doesn't it look like sometimes... Haven't you... You know, I used to work in a elementary school. And the kids, the little ones would come. And they'd say... Miss Penn, it was a former incarnation. I was married once. You know, we got to talk to you. My best friend hurt my feelings. And you're like, she doesn't like me anymore. She likes so-and-so. And I'm going to go tell her that so-and-so really said this about her behind her back. Is that a good example of ignorant liking? You're going to get your friend back by splitting apart the new friendship. And... They'll come back to, and I'll, you know, good counselor, talk to them about, you know, is that really going to work? And the kids nod. And then they argue with me. Then they decide it won't really work. And then they go out at recess and try it anyway, right? And they come back the next day and said, my best friend, you were wrong. Okay? So the lotus can look beautiful in the moment. It looks like he got a good result. What's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen to our friendships? They're going to fall apart. Yeah? So then the lotus is another good example of that. It's something that can fool you because it looks like you get something beautiful out of something wrong. And it clobbers you later on. And in the meantime, it poisons you from seeing that beautiful Buddha with all the signs and marks. And is it a Buddha inside of you, inside of that lotus, really? The picture is... We're going to give these out later. This is Kala, who is Allison Day's daughter. This is her picture. Her picture. Kala's 12 or 13, and she's Allison Day's daughter. And she went to class, and she went home, and she drew all the images. So this is her drawing of the Buddha in the lotus. And see, this Buddha, he's getting impatient. He's popping out. All right. But doesn't it obscures? How can we see the emptiness of things? How can we see that things don't really come from outside of us if we're grabbing onto them and hurting others? Okay, does that image make sense? But is it a real Buddha inside? What are they really talking about inside the lotus? Emptiness, right. But it wouldn't be a very good image. But that emptiness... is the potential to give birth to a Buddha with all the marks and signs. Okay? That's image number one, just in case it asks on your homework. Okay. By the way, this is your latent, your dormant desire to like things ignorantly. It's not when it comes up in the moment. It's not the moment it comes up. These are the seeds that you've already planted to like things ignorantly. That's the rotten lotus. The dormant desire. So that's important. Okay, the seeds. Let's see if I was supposed to say anything else. There's a secret to this. Can anyone see inside of that spoiled lotus? Can any being look at us and know that we have the potential to become enlightened? Is there a being that can look into the heart of every living being and see this potential? Even in those beings in the hell realms, even in those beings that see themselves surrounded in flame, is there a being who can do that? Buddhas, right. So that's the secret. Enlightened beings can see that inside of this rotten lotus is the potential for complete, full, perfect Buddhahood. Okay? And what do we need? What do we need? Because we don't get it. I mean, did you get this stuff? Did you figure out that the world was all coming from inside of you? Did you figure that out by yourself? I didn't. Did you? We figured it out because enlightened beings taught us. They spoke the words that have been taught to us. So that's another secret of it. If you can get the teachings, you can start liking things wisely. You don't stop liking things. You just start realizing that everything you like came from you being a good person. Okay? And then you can open up the lotus. Then the rotting lotus can fall away, and you can see the Buddha nature. Okay, image number one. Got it? Any questions? This is so cute! Image number two. The key to this image is... Oh, by the way, liking things ignorantly is called, say, duchak. Duchak. Okay. That means to like things ignorantly, to think they're out there somewhere, to think that if you take them away from someone else, you can actually have something good. I was laughing yesterday because I bought some of those, I'm going to buy some of those beautiful CDs that Anthony did in Australia. And I misheard Allison Day. I didn't have my wallet. And I was like, Allison, can I put these, because I'll forget otherwise, can I put... And she put them in a bag, and I thought she said, take them with you, because there was confusion today and that I could pay her today. And I'm getting the Marriage of Karma and Emptiness, this one, and Mahamudra is the other, which all about emptiness, right? And I get home, and there's a panicked email from Allison saying, what CDs did you take? I need to keep track. Did Anthony say you could have them for free? You know, and I was like, it's 12:30 at night, you know, and I'm sitting at my computer writing her a note going, no, they're not for free. Yes, I do owe you money. These are the CDs, and I didn't steal them. And she wrote me a note back saying, oh, sweetie, I didn't think so, you know. But I was laughing at the idea that I could steal a teaching on karma and emptiness. And emptiness. You know, I was like, you could, I guess. But then would you get it? My computer would probably break trying to play the things. You know, so it was, and she didn't think I did, but she's trying to keep track of inventory, so I don't want to lie. But it was funny because it made me think about what gets in our way. The thought, and we can laugh at that one because it's so obvious, but is it so obvious when Holy John Roadhouse and Winston Ha run late and I get worried about finishing class on time? I have to tease you, right? And I get irritated. And I think somehow my irritation will change things. Or the fact that this class is going to be shrunk shorter isn't because I've squeezed other people for time. Right? I've squeezed other people for time. I've kept other people waiting, you know? What's the cause? Is it that John and Winston are so interesting and enthralling? Yeah, they might be, but if people have the seeds. Or is it because of...
Well, I was going to say the amazing thing is that having that insight, then you boycott the emotion or the feeling of anger, irritation, whatever the klesha is, whatever the afflictive emotion is, it gets cut.
Eventually, if you're sitting right next to your lama who's saying chill.
Well, you're practicing. I mean, every time it comes up that you think it's coming from me, that's one more cut in the habitual pattern. That's coming from out there.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter in a way. You know, it takes sometimes an hour to catch yourself, right? Or even the next day, especially when we get to the next one. Ignorant liking, well, actually, it's sneakier. Ignorant disliking is the next thing we're going to talk about, the next image. It gets sneaky. Sometimes it takes a while. Catch it anyway, you know? If it takes a half an hour, if it takes, like, you know, your lama sitting next to you and going, it's okay, you know, your lama in your heart, it's okay. You're catching it, and you're going to unravel the Buddha in the lotus. Okay, so the second one. Second image. That's not it. I didn't number the pages. This is it. It's here, down here. So say Trang, Ma, La, Trang, Si. This is like a retroflex, Cha, okay? If I tell you that what's inside of this is Trang, can you tell me what Trang is? Honey, Trang Si, actually, okay? Trang Si is honey, nectar, Trang Si. Trang, what's Trang? Bees, okay. So the second image is that of bees and honey. I'm sorry, I just blanked. Where are we? Wait. No, that's okay. La. Changma, okay, is the bee. La is in or on or inside or, you know, from, or la is a preposition and it can be a lot of different things. Changsi is the honey, the nectar within. Yeah, bee and honey, bees and honey. So if I tell you that this is the image whose inner meaning is ignorant disliking, does it make sense? Ignorant disliking, anger, say shedang. Shedang. Hatred, anger, ignorant disliking, liking things stupidly. How could we relate that to the idea of this sweetness surrounded by bees? You blame the bees? And what do the bees do? You ever try to reach into a hive? They prevent you from getting it. They sting you. They cause a lot of pain. It's like a swarm of bees around the sweet honey of our Buddha nature. Our anger, our ignorant, liking things ignorantly, is like that swarm of bees. And it completely obscures our inner emptiness. And honey is a good image for a lot of reasons. Our inner emptiness, which is the honey, our Buddha nature. I should keep saying Buddha nature. Buddha nature. It obscures our Buddha nature. The bees represent our mental afflictions, our latent seeds, our dormant seeds for liking things stupidly. The seeds that we've planted by doing it over and over again. Again, because if we like things stupidly, where are we seeing them coming from? The irritating people in our lives? Where are they coming from? It's harder. Well, okay, so will putting the debaters in another room stop them from irritating us? Stop our irritation. Exactly. It's really interesting. You know, maybe it's not that you shouldn't try things like, well, if groups are going to be debating and noisy, you could try putting them in another room. But the noise will only stop if what? Yeah. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. My biggest thing was, you know, at my old job, which I had in New York before I moved here, I was a clinical supervisor for a school-based counseling program. And my supervisory group was everybody no one else wanted to supervise. Okay, I worked for the Archdiocese of New York. I had all the nuns. I mean, the tough nuns. They screamed at me a whole lot because they were so frustrated. And I was middle management, you know, squeezed from both sides, middle management. I had the screamers in my group. I had the people who didn't get their paperwork done. I had the people who were sure that the only reason they couldn't help every child in New York was because of the idiot administration, you know. And I was one of them, and I was the one they could talk to. I got screamed at a lot. I cried a lot. So I leave, right? And it was great because the supervisors then got together in a supervisory group. And the other supervisors kept saying, you have to learn to get angry. And at the same time, I was going at night to Geshe Michael saying, you have to stop getting angry. It was really cool. Of course, they could have been angels who were saying, you have to pretend to be angry so that people don't plant the seed of abusing you, right? So you don't know. You don't know. But anyway, so I left. I left. I gave up my job and I moved to Arizona in the middle of the desert. Where's the angry supervisory group? Where's the bad morale? Where's the being stuck in the middle? Well, guess what? I was a caretaker and a board member of Diamond Mountain. Middle management. The same number of people said to me, you know, we're poor volunteers and you don't treat us well enough and you don't give us the jobs we want and you're keeping us down, and if it wasn't for you, you know, I cook better than you anyway. What the heck are you supposed to be doing as a care person? Which is true. You know, what are you doing as a care person? Why aren't I one? Right? The same number of people. I was laughing. I woke up one morning in my tent. We were staying in tents, right? I had a little tiny tent. It was very secure. I felt like my body could hold the tent down at first. I woke up one morning in my tent and I just burst out laughing because I realized I had the same number of people who hated me. I had the same number of people who loved me. And I was middle management again in the middle of the desert. It was really weird. So those are the bees, and they don't go away, right? Just by wishing them away, or by moving, or by quitting, or by, right? The bees cover the honey, which is the Buddha nature, the sweetness of our potential for enlightenment, right? A skilled yogi can see the honey and figure out how to get around the bees, or maybe even how to use the bees to get to the honey. That's really skillful means. Yeah. That's really skillful means. And honey, basically all honey tastes the same. I know there's buckwheat flower honey and there's, you know, all kinds of different honey. They basically taste the same. Just so is Buddha nature, Christie's Buddha nature, my Buddha nature, John's Buddha nature, Laura's Buddha nature. They're the same taste. They're the same taste. So honey's a nice image for that. Okay. Again, the remedy is that enlightened beings, like a skilled yogi, can see the honey under the bees and can teach us how to stop reacting when someone yells at us, how not to yell back. It's really hard. I mean, I hold out for maybe, you know, like last night I got 3 hours sleep. All bets are off. You know, don't try to irritate me. It'll be very easy. I mean, it'll be like fair game, right? So actually, a skilled yogi also knows how to take care of themselves, because those bees do sting, despite our wisdom, despite holy beings teaching us. Okay? So that's the second one.
Let's say somebody's in a really negative, negative situation, and they think, well, it's because of my karma I'm in this situation, I should just stick it out.
Oh, whoa. What are you doing to the other being who's harming you? Okay. If they're not a Buddha, what seeds are they planting? What do you think, John? I want to hear you on this.
This is a great question.
I think it's wonderful.
We were at dinner with Geshe-la the other night, and we were talking about relationships. And about this, about karma and emptiness in the context of relationships. And so that question you raised, I raised in our discussion and said, you know, when we teach this, we need to teach the hard situations. You know, I'm married to an abuser. I'm in a physically abusive relationship. Do I stay there because I know it's coming from me? And so every time I get hit, it's one more opportunity to, you know, purify my karma? Is that what we're talking about? I don't think so. On the other hand, you know, if we think that by leaving this relationship, we're going to find ultimate happiness in the next relationship, is that correct? I don't think so. A, you don't hit back. You know, A, you don't hit back. Many, in my experience, many people who have been abused have tremendous sense of anger and resentment and negativity towards the abuser. That's simply that action of mind. It could be just a thought, but we're talking about body, speech, and mind. Maybe they didn't hit him back. Maybe they didn't yell at him. But in their heart, they're harboring this incredible antagonism. Right? So that's going to sow the seed. That action of thought, of mind, is going to sow the seed to see it again.
If you get to the point where you can get away, and you get away, then you have your seed is, you know, the seed is gone, and you're not seeing yourself being abused anymore.
But it doesn't mean that you waste this precious human life and this precious human body by letting it get beat up by somebody who's merely accumulated a whole lot more negative karma on his side. Maybe, we don't know, but maybe. And so the skill, the skillfulness is seeing when is when. Right? When is when? When is enough?
Do you get the idea that a lot of this is about our mental continuum, what we think? You know, even more than what we do. What we think is our raw karma, it becomes what we do and say. And it's about your state of mind. You could stay, when suggested, precious human body. There are vows about that, too. You know, you could hit back. You could leave. But the result isn't going to be from that action. The future result will be from your actions in the present.
One of the most profound, you know, AA is a wonderful model for working with some of these ideas. And one of the most profound teachings in AA is the teaching about enabling. Right? And so Al-Anon is this organization, and one of the things one learns in Al-Anon, which is the person in relationship with the identified alcoholic, is the ways in which I enable, unconsciously, not intentionally, actions which are harmful to that other person and also harmful to myself. So it brings it back to us. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, as does Buddhism. It brings us back to us. Okay. So this is the bee and the honey. Remember, it's kind of easy to remember, represents the dormant seed of ignorant disliking. So what you don't want to do is respond with anger. You might do it. I mean, I had some of these things happen to me as an adult. Anger arises like that sometimes. It's what you do with it. And then slowly it won't arise anymore because that's a habit also. Okay, so get it. A skilled yogi can get around the bees. And a Buddha can see the honey, teach us to find it. All right? Ready for picture number 3? She had more trouble with this.
So this is empty. What does everybody think it is?
This is empty. I keep thinking watermelon. It's not. It's supposed to be, let's see. I didn't write this one down, so just say it with me. Say Bun La Ningbo. Bun means a hull or a husk. This is supposed to be like a wheat or barley inside a husk. I couldn't draw that. I couldn't draw that. She was trying to draw seeds inside of something. I think it's great.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, like a seed of grain, of barley, of wheat, inside a husk. Bun lai. La here, standing for inside. Ningpo means essence. Here it means like the grain, the essence of the seed. So you get the idea. Can you eat? Have you ever, like, try to eat an inedible, like people eat edamame, which is soybeans inside, you know, and you forget that it's not a sweet pea or something, and you try to eat the outside, and it's inedible. It's worthless, you know. It'll make your stomach hurt if you try. So you get the idea of something nourishing, something healthy inside of a useless husk. So that husk represents, we've had ignorant liking ignorant disliking, dormant versions. So what's this the dormant version of? If you think of the wheel of life, what's in the center of the wheel? Hatred? And?
Passion, aggression, and ignorance.
Ignorance. So this is ignorance itself. Ignorance itself. The husk is our ignorance, our dormant seeds for thinking that the world is out there coming at us. For thinking, if David Sykes looks bored, it's because I'm boring him. I have to start a fight with him, clearly. He's got that look on his face. I think fear does. We'll probably all have our theories. I always thought fear does. Like, I had a friend who used to beat people up, and it was because he was scared. You know? I always think fear is at the root. He thinks boredom. He was scared. There was a little tiny person inside of this puffed up angry person.
You do know that microphone's not working, right?
It's not supposed to be amplifying. It's supposed to be, they're recording a different group every day. Today is our group.
Oh, they are
day.
Actually recording.
You've got to really ask great questions.
Yeah, you've got to ask really intelligent questions.
A lot of pressure.
Like she's asking. There's a lot of pressure.
So the ignorance is represented by the seed or by the husk?
By the husk, because the seed is nourishing,
oh, the
right?
Seed is your Buddha nature.
Yeah, right, you got it. The seed is your Buddha nature.
So the metaphor doesn't extend to the husk having been a useful thing for the seed in the past. It doesn't extend that far.
Oh, we'll get there with another image.
Okay. You said useless. I thought, well.
It protected the seed, right? It's what the seed ate. Very sweet, very sweet. But this is a dried out husk.
Okay.
So now it's useless.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. I like that. Okay. The husk keeps us from being nourished by our Buddha nature. Okay? So teachers, we need a teacher. Get the theme. We need a teacher to show us that there's a grain in there. There's nourishment in there. And you have to strip the husk before you can get to the sweetness of the grain. So that's the image. The Tibetan for ignorance itself is Timuk. Say Timuk.
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 Okay. All right. All right. Now we're on image number 4. So we've had ignorant liking, ignorant disliking, ignorance itself, all dormant seeds.
What was the Tibetan for the disliking? We had Duchak and we have Timu.
Shedong.
Shedong.
Okay, number 4. This is really cute. This is the picture for number 4. That's a cesspool. That's a cesspool. Okay. This one I think I wrote down. Here we go. C'est ça, la,
la,
terre.
Ça,
la, terre.
Ça, la, terre.
Ça means earth, the earth. Like you'll hear it in earth element. Oops, I screwed up. I'm like, wait a second, that's not what we want to be talking about. I didn't write this one down either. Sorry, I did this at 5 in the morning. So something's got... All right. Let's see. Oh, we did have Timo. Okay. We're doing the gold. So say... Mitsang. Nang. Na. Ser.
Mitsang.
Nang na.
Nang na.
Ser.
Ser.
Mitsang means something unclean, filthy. A cesspool.
Have any of you ever lived in a house
with a
septic
tank?
Septic tank.
Then overflows.
Into my shower.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. It's that kind of uncleanness. Nang na. Nang na means inside. Ser means inside, nang na. Ser means gold. Gold.
outside the cesspool. What a cesspool. It's such a, for me, because I lived in several houses where we had trouble with the septic tank, and the whole backyard turned into bogs. Filthy smells, right? I was 8. It must have been past life. You know, so I have a really vivid image. This is all the poisons put together. Ignorant liking, ignorant disliking, and ignorance itself. Manifest form. It's manifest form. It's happening now. Have you ever felt like that, especially after a Dharma teaching? You know, Geshe Michael says, on your way out, you're going to meet an irritating person, and you're sitting there going, I'm not going to get irritated. I just heard this holy teaching. I'm not going to get upset. And you walk out, and somebody says something to you, and you're mad, like that, right? Because you're all strung out, and you're tired, and you've been concentrating, and you get mad. You see the thing coming at you. You want to away, you see a friend coming towards you, and you're like, ah, they'll rescue me. You're ignorantly seeing everything come at you. That's a cesspool. So what's the theme here? What's the goal? What's the gold coin? Your Buddha nature. Your Buddha nature. Now, the kind of cool thing is, if you throw a gold coin in a cesspool and leave it, what will happen to the gold coin? Nothing. It can't be defiled, right? If you can pluck out that gold coin and wash it off, it's pure gold, right? You cannot lose your potential for Buddhahood. You can't. You can keep it defiled, you can keep it shrouded, but you can't lose it. You can't lose the purity of it. So if someone comes along with special powers and they can see under the muck and show us where the gold coin is, can we fish it out, clean it off, and be rich? Yes. Okay. You're supposed to say yes out loud.
Yes.
Got it.
So in that way, we rely on the teachings. The teachings are the ones who point to us and say, you've got gold inside. You can become a Buddha. And they say it over and over again. Right? Until we get it. Until we're so sick of hearing it that we're afflicted enough to do something about our afflictions, right? Okay. Okay, now here's the Tibetan that I sprung on you before. Here's this image. This is one of the most famous images of the nine. This is number 5. Doing it. Actually, this is interesting. This is number 5. He looks very happy, but he's actually a really poor guy, okay?
He's got a cane. Is he a blind guy?
He's got a cane. See, he's got a leaky roof. He's got a cane. Maybe he's blind. He's poor. There's something, X marks the spot here, and that's what we need to talk about. Okay. So now say sa,
sa,
la,
la,
ter.
Salater.
Okay. Sa means earth. La means inside or under. And ter means right. What word comes from it that we may have heard? Terma, like hidden treasure. Like these Buddhas that appeared, Padmasambhava, and hid all these treasures, right? And then people are finding them.
Jamdhan Khantra, we talked about this morning, was a tertan. A tertan is one who discovers terma.
Yes, yeah. Special beings who know where to go. And sometimes the treasure is written in code, and only the Tertan can read it, yeah? Or someone else
right.
As well. Okay, so what we've got is this image of a poor man's house, and he's broke, and he's poor, and he has no idea that his hovel with the hole in the roof, you know, and the leaky ceiling, and the no protection is actually been built above the ruins of a palace. And inside the dirt is gold, right? A treasure that would make him wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. He doesn't know he's standing right on top of it. He can't see it, right? So we got the theme here.
Now, this time the dirt represents the mental seeds of our ignorance and the different levels that we have of ignorance, okay? And this guy, he's always been poor, just like we've always been poor. We haven't fulfilled our spiritual heritage since beginningless time. We've been suffering. We haven't found a way out. Okay? And just like him, we have the potential to get rich. What does he need in order to get rich? He needs to dig. But what does he need in order to even know whether he should be digging?
Metal detectors.
Someone had to point out to the metal detector. It's beautiful. The metal detector. A divining wand. Somebody to point out where the gold is. We have to be told to do it. Now, if the guy's karma ripens, maybe somebody tears down. You know, with you can imagine somebody who's, this poor guy moves away, his house is torn down, and as they're digging it up, the rich guy who bought the property finds the gold. Because he has the karma. No, that's not part of the story.
Who was that guy here in the States somewhere who found there was an emerald mine in his backyard? And he was just like digging a hole for some plants one day, and he discovered all these jewels.
Wow. Amazing,
just, yeah.
Isn't that cool? Now, what changed?
So that's the De Beers diamond mines in South Africa. Right? Same idea.
It's interesting, the metaphor I've told people before, that when I discovered the Dharma, it was like finding out that there was a basement underneath my house that was already there, that was endless and full of amazing, beautiful things that I was continually discovering. Like you do in dreams when you find a room that you didn't know was in your house. That's interesting. It fits with that.
Yeah, I'd like this one too, because I used to have these transition dreams where I'd dream that I was in my familiar house and I'd open a door I hadn't seen before and there were 10 more rooms. I used to have that, like, occasionally. And then I became, I never had it. Okay. Oh, this is cute. Here's the next one. Just plant the seed with the image here. And here's the Tibetan. And the Sanskrit. I did write the Sanskrit so you could see it and have the seed planted. I really don't pronounce well, so I didn't want to say it. But here's the Tibetan. Say Nyukso Drechum. Nyukso
Drechum.
Means sprout. Soak means etc. You see soak a lot.
Yeah.
Means etc.
Oh, that's correct.
Jin soak. Jin soak. Jin means jinpa. Giving. Jin soak means jinpa, all the soul trim. Yeah. The flat, the six perfection. Jin soak. Soak means etc. Drebu. Drebu may sound familiar. Drebu means result. Dre means fruit. Fruit. That's the result of a harvest. Chung means small. So this is what I picture. You picture a tree laden with fruit. Apricots, because we have those in Diamond Mountain's orchard. Okay? And an apricot ripens and falls to the ground. And it begins to rot. The flesh begins to rot away. The pit gets exposed. It gets blown over with soil. It gets some rain. This is Diamond Mountain, Arizona. It gets sunlight, lots of it. And a sprout begins to come up. Okay? The nuke begins to arise. Now, this is really cool. This image is of the path ripening in us. The fruit, the rotting fruit, represents our mental teachings and our negativities, which are destroyed, which begin the root of our negativities. Not all of our negativities, but the root of our negativities is wiped out when we accomplish one very important thing that, until you've done it, you've never seen things correctly at all. So what is that one thing?
Seeing
emptiness directly. Excuse me?
What, I'm sorry, the rotten fruit was mental afflictions, and the pit was...
Okay, the seed... No, that's okay, we're getting to it. This is a ripening, a sprout's beginning to grow. So this represents the negativities that are eliminated when you see emptiness directly.
You don't have a picture of that?
Yes, she did. That was that. That was that. The negativities that are eliminated through the path of seeing, that's the third of the five paths, which there's only three. What are you doing?
For the kids back home.
So the negativities,
see the great teacher.
Negativities of the rotten fruit.
And what do you think the Buddha nature is here?
And what's
The sprout, the seed, the watered and fertilized seed and sprout, right? And it represents the things that are eliminated when you see emptiness directly, when you achieve the path of seed. And what we think of is the sunlight and the fertilizer for this. Say tu, sam, gom. Does that sound familiar? What does it mean? To study, sam, study or hearing, contemplation,
meditation.
The water, the fertilizer, and the sun are your hard study, are your, what does emptiness mean? Oh, we're tired of saying it, but we're going to think it one more time. It is that, you know, over and over and over again, contemplating, meditating, debating. The other day, you know, Sykes said to me, you're getting close to a cliff, Chukila. If you go down that path, you're going to say that we can just do anything, right? That's what you do. You pick apart. You wrestle with your friends and with yourself and each other, and that's the sunlight, the water, and the fertilizer for this image. Okay? The Buddha nature would be the sprouting from the seed.
Oh.
The covering, the fruit is the negativities. You know what's interesting to me about this and what I really like about this is, first of all, there's a cycle here, right? The cause is the tree, gives rise to the fruit, which falls to the ground and becomes the cause of a tree, you know? And it's like turning this cycle from negative, where we... The cause of our suffering is us doing harm, right? And the more harm, the more suffering, and we continue. It turns the cycle. When you see emptiness directly, when you see where things truly are coming from, you've ripped the roots out of the tree of suffering, and you're reaping the fruit that will move you to enlightenment. So our very negativities can give birth if we understand them properly, if we know where they came from, and work to remove them, can give birth to our enlightenment. I kind of like that. The fruit itself
becomes the fertilizer.
Yeah, the rotten fruit becomes the fertilizer.
It's like that image of the manure.
As you pop 3 or 4.
That you don't take the manure out and throw it away. You actually spread it on your fields because that's the richness that enables things to grow. You actually can walk on your negativity too.
Beautiful. I like that. Almost everyone I know after the honeymoon gets really depressed. Because they realize, they can see all these things in their mind that they know are planting the seeds for suffering. And what Kristila just said is, hey, this is cool. This is like you can take the manure of your mental afflictions and make it ripen into something beautiful. It's like instead of getting angry, we could rejoice that we even see what we're creating, that we're working towards stopping, and that that can give us the energy. It's like when my mind fills with jealousy now, I can't take it. You know, before I'd find 1,000 reasons to justify it, but now I can't take it. So that's going to push me towards getting there, you see? So the very rottenness of our negativities can help us if we see it that way.
Right.
Beautiful.
It's like saying you can start wherever you begin with, wherever you are, because what else would you begin with but what you bring any particular moment? And in there is that goal.
Book like that. One of my favorite people wrote a book called Start Where You Are. Okay. What is this, a theme?
Well, she did. Idea.
Thanks, Sykes. Of course, I didn't create having my picture taken. It was him.
I'm on vacation, so I have to take pictures and spend a lot of money on food. I'm cranking myself when I go on vacation. No, not at all.
Okay. So, important to think the theme of image number six, that was image number six, the theme of it is the negativities that are eliminated at the path of seeing, because you're going to see a theme as we go up. We're moving up now, you get the idea? We're going from the grossest form of ignorance to actually beginning to internalize the path. Okay, so we're going to keep going up. Here's number seven, here's the picture. Those are not designs. Okay, and it's this one. It's this bottom Tibetan, and the very bottom. Say, Guhul, Nangna, Gyelku. Okay, Gyelku. All right. Gu means cloth. This is cloth. Krul is one of those, what do you call a word that sounds like what it is? Can't think of it. Yeah, I couldn't pronounce it, actually. I had the word in my mind, but I thought, I'm not going to even try to say it. Somebody can say it for me. Krul is like to shred, to rip cloth. I always think of that scene in Kundun, where Norbu is with Kundun, and he's teaching him how to bite a cloth and then rip it. Krul, okay? So the idea is a beautiful statue of the victor, Gyel. Gyel means victors. Ku means holy body. We have a lu, or I do anyway, an impure body. A ku is a holy body, okay? So Gyel is short for victor. Ku is the holy body of a victor. Nangna means inside. We had that. Gu means cloth, and rul means like a shredded cloth. So get the idea. What's happening to the Buddha nature? It's now inside. It's not inside a rotten lotus closed up. It's inside a shredded cloth. It's getting thinner, yeah? You're further along. I think of the cloth. It's got holes all through it. Once you've seen emptiness directly, there's no going back. Once you've experienced your Buddha nature, you've experienced your capacity directly, there's no going back. But you still see things wrong, right? And you only get rid of how many mental afflictions after you see emptiness directly? Three. How many mental afflictions are there? 84,000. That leaves 83,997 to go. Right? Okay. They will be eliminated because you've ripped the roots out. And they'll be eliminated on what path? Path of... 83,997.
Oh,
yeah.
Path of no more
money. Well, they'll be completely eliminated. But they start to be eliminated. You hit the bottom. Path of no more burning is it.
That's done.
Yeah, so we're talking about mental afflictions being eliminated. They're eliminated on the path of habituation. What are you habituating yourself to?
What you saw.
You're getting used to the idea that the world, now you know it, does not exist the way you thought it did. So the cloth is shredded, and your nature is peeking out, and you know you're near victory. Okay? And the idea of the ripped cloth, actually, I didn't draw a vivid enough picture. It's like there's a rag around a priceless statue, and it's laying on the side of a busy road, a busy highway, highway number 10. And some deity comes, and they can see in the rag, and they see this priceless statue, and they say, hey, they stop somebody. You know, they put their thumb out. Somebody stops, and they say, look, there's something priceless. And it's right there. You can see it peeking out. So again, those who can see this beautiful nature inside of every single being. Bugs have it. Animals have it. People have it. Right? Every being. Okay. Let's see what you did from the brain. This is number 8. Very cute. She's very... This is... She's 12. You'll get it. This is amazing. Future. This is the future of... What's this? What does she look like? She's pregnant. That's the future. What does he look like? Or a king. Okay. You're getting out. Getting off easy here. Okay. Okay, so what's this one? Say, Bume. Woman, okay? I didn't translate all of this. I'll have to look up the rest. What it means in some, is picture this pregnant woman. She's poor. She's impoverished. She is unprotected. And if you can picture this image was born in India. Women alone in India, especially in the past, but even in the present, are in danger. A woman without protection is a very scary thing in India. They still, you know, I remember some Indian friends warning us when we were traveling. We got to Goa, which is this beautiful place. It looks like the Caribbean. We've been in Mumbai, and we got to Goa, and I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? You know, my mind would wrap itself around. And somebody said, be careful. Tell your, you know, I didn't go swimming and didn't have a swimsuit. Tell your friends to watch what they wear on the beach, because the other day a Western woman got raped in a bathing suit, and it's that she was just asking. Here's this place that looks like the Riviera. So an unprotected, a pregnant woman with no protection. She thinks she has no protection, but what she doesn't realize is it's a pregnant woman who's pregnant with a world emperor. A world emperor is a being with the karma for the whole world to beg them to take charge. The ultimate worldly protector is right inside of her. Right there. She's like 8.5 months pregnant, and she feels unprotected. Moral of the story, anybody? Where's our protection? It's what the guy said last night. He said, after John left, this gentleman I was debating with last night, I said, you got to go to Shentong tomorrow. You got to go to that class. He said, I don't have to go anywhere except inside of myself. And I was like, you win.
Yeah.
End of debate. Right. The protection is our Buddha nature. The protection is our emptiness. Now, the woman, this impoverished, ugly, by the way, she's ugly. You know, she's got everything going against her. She's poor, she's ugly, she's unpredictable. The woman, sorry. And we're all assuming the world emperor is a man. It could be a girl, you know.
Yeah, world empress.
World empress. You know, the woman represents the impurities on the first 7 levels of the Bodhisattva Bhumi. So, you know, you're well into it. It's the subtle impurities you're working on now. The impure levels. 7 impure levels. What are these stained with? They're stained with the innate belief in self-existence. You know you're wrong. Intellectually, your belief in self-existence has been destroyed. But your innate belief is still there. And you have a subtle belief in self-existence. You still see things wrong. So the woman is like this, but very soon, the protection inside of her will ripen.
Why is she pushing a shopping cart full of boulders in that picture?
That's right. Oh, she's meant to be a bag lady.
She's a bag lady. Oh, this is a modern, yeah. Beautiful. Very good. This is a 12-year-old listening to a class on Buddhism. She got it. No protection. Okay, we've got one more. Number nine.
One
more.
Oh, it's nine. It's nine.
Number nine. Say sa.
Sa.
La.
La.
La. Rinchen.
Rinchen.
Soup.
Soup.
Sa la.
Sa la.
Rinchen.
Rinchen.
Sa is earth, right? And la inside the earth. Rinchen means precious. Like Rinpoche, Rinchen, precious. Great, hugely precious. Suk means body. Precious form. So this is like, you could say, a statue made out of pure gold. And then it's covered with a thin layer of mud. This is cool. What can you see? Unlike that first one where the Buddha is hiding in the lotus, you can see the precious statue. Gold is speaking out. It's just a thin layer of clay. So the clay represents the subtle obscurations to omniscience, the last things that need to be cleared away on the last three levels. It's subtle. Isn't it cool? You can see the gold.
She's really good.
She's did a really beautiful job.
No, the last, yeah, the subtle levels of obscurity.
Obstacles. There are more subtle obstacles in there on the last three levels, which are called the pure levels because you've reached your bottom. Actually, reach your bottom. Yeah, that's right. You reach nirvana, so you've gotten rid of all, you've permanently ceased your mental afflictions, but you still have obstacles. You still have obscuration. Okay? So this is, that clay is that last little bit that needs to be scrubbed off. And what's going to be, what's going to emerge? And what's, it, actually you're Buddha at that point, right? But it, you're right, the statue represents your Buddha nature. All that's left is to use your wisdom. This is the end of Gomlam, right? You're going to flip over into Miloglam, the path of no more learning. Pure, total, complete Buddha. Questions, comments? That's a comment. Debates?
One of the nice images that that actually comes out of the Shentong view is the image of water that has mud in it. Right? And so the mud doesn't contaminate the essence of the purity of the water. So as the mud settles, the water is pure.
What I would suggest to, how many of you sort of torment yourself about your mental afflictions, especially parents? I know moms do this sometimes. You know, the days where they can sit with their kids. It's like getting run over with a truck. Remember that inner Buddha nature can't be sullied by anything. It's like the sky and clouds be temporarily obscured, but it can't be sullied. So I started playing this game with myself. I don't know whether it'll help at all. I had a tendency to beat myself up badly. I still do a bit if I get stressed or exhausted, and then I call John Roadhouse or I email him, and then Christy sort of talks to him. Anyway, it's like this help. But what I've learned is when I'm not completely stressed and it starts to overwhelm me, I just look at it, and I can't stop it. I'm jealous. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm in a hole. And I like look at it and say, you know what? All you are is seeds. I planted you there a long time ago. You're ripened. I can't do much about you. But enjoy your day, because tomorrow's another day. You know, you're going to go away, and you're not going to change the fact that I can become a Buddha. You know? And just a little gentleness to throw in there for people that are too rough on themselves. It tends to be women, but I think the guys here tend to do that too. Beating up yourself, harming yourself, is as bad as harming someone else. It plants the same seed. Okay. So, we have homework for 6 seconds. We have worked so hard. Written all over the place. Any other questions?
If I can't be here tomorrow. I can't be here tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
How will I get my homework printed?
You know what? We can do if it's not all printed today. You can give me your email address. And I can do that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got some handouts here, and we're scrambling a little bit to get these. So if you find you don't have everything, go to the table downstairs and see if you can find what you need. So
we didn't have a quiz at the beginning
of
this hour.
No. Yeah. This is the quiz. This is the class 3 quiz. Did we hand that out?
Okay. Class 3 is our class together yesterday. There should be a class 4 quiz somewhere that we have to find out.
I might have that.
So let's give you class 3 and class 4. You've got some time now if you want to take it.
I don't know.
Why don't we do that? We don't waste our virtue. Let's give it all away to the idea of getting to that point where there's only a veneer left, and may every being get there. And may every being scrub off the veneer, okay? Come on, Sykes, you can do it. Puki Juxing Maitok Trum Rirab Ling Shin Yen Dik Empa Di Sange Shing Du Mite Owa Ge Drokum Nam Da Shing La Chupa Idam Guru Radha Mangalakam Kirtanam Deva Kevoku Sunam Yeshe Sosokshin Sunam Yeshe Lishamwe Dampak